Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Laura Hackney, the CTO and co-founder of Annie Cannons. Good morning, Laura. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, another beautiful day in Northern California, right?
Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous.
And as you know, another beautiful weekend we just had.
Yeah. And happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day or belated Mother's Day. I did call mom yesterday, got her a gift. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm currently the Chief Technical Officer at Annie Cannons. But before that, I was the program manager for the program on human rights at Stanford University. So most of my work before Annie Cannons was focused on human rights research, did a lot of work researching and working with nonprofits and government agencies on issues around anti-trafficking, also looking at other issues related to health and human rights. So most of my background was in the research space before I became a software engineer and then co-founded this organization, Annie Cannons. So a bit of a pivot, but there is sort of a golden thread connecting them all at this point.
And you also have some history at Berkeley, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Go Bears.
Oh, so you're a Bears fan, not a Cardinal, huh?
100%. Yes. Okay.
I know, because that's a little bit of a...
You have to draw a line in the sand, but yeah, both great institutions, but go Bears.
Yes. Yeah, I understand. So tell us about Annie Cannons. What does Annie Cannons do? How did you get the name? It's an unusual name for a company and all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So my co-founder and I, we started Annie Cannons about 6 years ago. And really it came out of, we were working a lot in the anti-trafficking space with different survivor leaders and service providers, government agencies, and we really felt that so much of the focus in the anti-trafficking space was on the rescue or the intervention, how to get someone out of their situation of exploitation. And then after that, the story sort of just dropped off. It just stopped. And so a lot of people were asking, what's next? There weren't a lot of programs or people or organizations focused on long-term reintegration. And so many of the survivors that I was meeting had incredible problem-solving ability. They had, you know, incredible work ethic. They wanted a career. They wanted to be able to support themselves or their families. But there was a complete lack of access to opportunities in developing a career. And at that time in San Francisco, there were a lot of coding boot camps that existed with this idea that if you could spend 20 grand and you could pivot into the tech industry. So we really started talking about how we could create an organization that could fit into the services ecosystem of groups trying to support survivors, but really be that our value add could be a job training and could really be helping someone shape their own career. So we started working with different curriculum from coding boot camps and some other really wonderful organizations like Women Who Code and meeting with groups like Code 2040 that do a lot of great work to connect people with mentorship opportunities in STEM. And so we put together a training program that helps someone with, you know, core digital literacy skills all the way up through front-end web development. And then we started developing another program that was focused on actually going out to other companies, nonprofits that need software. And saying, you know, if you hire Annie Cannons, we'll then hire our graduates to build out your projects so that they can not only start making money, but build up their portfolio. We knew that we didn't want people to have to just go straight into a job at a tech company. They didn't want to. And also there were just a tremendous number of barriers for folks with non-traditional backgrounds to get into a lot of tech companies. Plus, you know, a lot of tech companies don't provide childcare. They don't have a really trauma-informed workplace. So we said, well, we can maybe provide another option where someone can actually start working, building up their skills, earning money as a part of our larger training workforce development program. We started 6 years ago. We just launched our seventh cohort, completely virtual, which has been very exciting. We now have students from all over the country. But yeah, our goal is to continue providing that training, that access to people who otherwise, might not have had the same opportunity to start a career in tech. So,
great. Yeah. And do you do boot camps, or is it a little less intense?
It's less intense. We definitely focus more on community building and really making sure that we're providing a lot of support. And we're grateful for a lot of the things that we were able to learn from boot camps, but it's definitely, we don't really have a boot camp vibe. More of a supportive training program. Yeah.
Well, and for the, as reference, my son went through a boot camp and I basically didn't talk to him for 3 months, I think.
They can be very intense. Yeah.
Yes, they can. So how did you come up with the name Annie Cannons?
Yeah. So we really liked, it's a real person's name. Her name was Annie Jump Cannon. She was hired in the early 20th century by a professor at Harvard University, along with a group of other women, to do what was kind of considered data entry. He was an astrophysicist. And this group of really talented thinkers actually discovered the life cycle and composition of stars. And they classification system of stars, and they wrote up a lot of their findings and experiments. One woman in the group created a thesis that became the core textbook for astrophysics for Harvard for about the next 40 years after that. Most of them were told over and over again to go home. They were told they didn't have a place in the STEM field, but most of them stayed. Annie Cannon stayed and kind of tried to continue to encourage people who are otherwise being actively not encouraged to stay in stay and keep making discoveries. So we really liked the idea of people who might be underestimated by society being able to make these advances in STEM. And we wanted it to be a name about individuals' potential and not about their past, not like breaking the chains or some of those other some of the names. We really wanted it to be about the potential when people are able to kind of start to access opportunity. And what we found that's really wonderful is people who've gone through our program are now involved in the organization trying to help more people go through the program and support them in new ways, whether that's teaching or managing projects or things like that. So yeah, that's the name.
Very cool. So you said you have people all over the country. So do you train remotely all these people?
Yes. So this was our last cohort. We had a couple weeks of in-person before COVID. Mm-hmm. The current cohort, we did all of our sort of prep work, logistics, getting people the computer hardware that they need, completely virtual. Our first completely virtual class, it's been going really well. It's exciting. We've had organizations reach out across the country for a couple years now saying, when are you going to come to my city? And we haven't been able to expand as quickly as we would like to, but given the circumstances of the pandemic, we were able to kind of reformat some of our, just the way that the classroom is set up, and have been able to launch this cohort. We have, I think, people in 7 or 8 different states. It's very exciting.
Cool. So do you see, like, going forward, do you think, hey, now that we've done this successfully, are you going to continue this model? Do you think you'll go back to the one city?
Yeah. I mean, I think that our next class, we are looking at partnering with an organization in the Bay Area to do an on-person class. But I could definitely see a world where we continue to have a cohort each year that is virtual. Just because it's just been incredible for the access and being able to partner with other service providers. We partner with an organization in New York that's able to help our students access services as they're going through the training. It's really been, I would say, a bit of a silver lining, people that otherwise wouldn't have been able to join in person.
Wow, cool. And do you ever see branching out internationally?
Oh, that's a great question. We've gotten several, we've had several organizations reach out and ask. And so we definitely, I think it's something exciting to think about growing into. And I think that there's a lot of interest. We do try to make all of our curriculum resources open source so that people can go and find and access those materials. And then we're working right now on just sharing out a lot of our lessons learned and best practices. So that even if other organizations, we can't actually send instructors or actually do a full class, that we can actually, you know, make sure that other organizations have access to those materials. But I do think there's just a tremendous amount of interest and really wonderful organizations being led by survivors in places like Nairobi and Johannesburg and other places that reached out, that we're looking forward to kind of growing into those partnerships over time, for sure.
Yes, and being in GAPR, I know, I mean, there's a 1.5 million person shortage in technical fields worldwide, so there's certainly demand. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that's really important is making sure that we're adapting our curriculum to make sure that it meets the needs of the people in new geographic locations. Also, our model, our individuals who graduate who are interested can become teaching assistants, become teaching engineers. And so what's wonderful about that is that we have, you know, our teaching team made up of graduates of our program who can really help people who are just starting out. So our hope is that if we're able to start running AnyCannons classes in other cities, as well as other places around the world, that the, you know, people in those communities will eventually be able to start becoming the engineers, the teachers, the product managers, so that there's a lot more of that cultural understanding and lived experiences that have been shared that can really help people who are going through the program and learning coding for the first time.
And as you know, it can be challenging. It's a different way to think of things.
Absolutely, but very fun, I would say.
Yeah, well, I've been doing it for 40 years, so I enjoy it. But I do know it's one of those things. It takes a little while to. I mean, it's 100% logic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a lot of, built into our curriculum a lot of wins. They're, you know, as they're building out an algorithm, solving lots of individual problems, and then at the end, you can say you just built an entire algorithm, and it's like, oh, I did what?
I did my first one in Fortran.
Nice.
Many years ago. I also programmed in Assembler many years ago. Most people don't even know what that is right now. So for people listening, if there's one skill you need right now, what would that be?
Oh, I mean, you know, right now we're definitely still continuing to grow our workforce development program, which means that we're always looking for companies who need software built, who hire AnyCannons, and then we can manage that project and hire our engineers to work on them. So, you know, we're always looking for really great client partners to work with on their software ideas. We do websites, web applications, mobile applications. We've started doing some work in data visualization and data dashboards. And you know, we're always working on building out more advanced workshops and things like that to make sure that our engineers are continuing to learn the newest technologies, and that's really matching what the needs are for our clients. So yeah, I would say to the extent that people are looking for dev shops to partner with or have overflow work and want not only great software, but to have an impact. We'd love to be in touch.
All right, well, good. Anybody listening out there, you can get in touch with me and I'll forward you to Laura. Sound good?
Thank you.
Or how can they reach you directly?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely can reach out directly in the email, at email or through our website.
Okay, website is probably the best.
What they're interested in and how to get involved with the organization.
Cool, very cool. Well, Laura, I want to thank you for your time today. It's wonderful to talk to someone that's actually making a difference in people's lives that really matters. I commend you very highly. So, and I wish your organization all the luck in the world. If there's anything we can do for you, let us know.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really lucky to have such a wonderful team. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Well, have a great day and enjoy this beautiful weather we have.
Yeah, spring is here.
Yes. All right. Bye.